Hi, everybody. The Complex PTSD Guy here. I'll start out by saying I'm not a doctor, psychiatrist. I'm just a guy living with complex PTSD, and I'm sharing my own ideas, experiences, and opinions on this podcast. I wanted to talk about a couple of things, and I wanted to share a couple of movies that you guys might find interesting that relate to abuse, and they also relate to... one relates specifically to physical abuse of an adult to a kid. So if that's the type of abuse that you went through, and particularly it's a more graphic type of abuse. And the reason I bring this movie up, which I have brought it up before, it was a long time ago, but this movie, it's called Dolores Claiborne. And the reason I bring it up is because it's the solar eclipse this Monday. Like, the sun is being blocked out by the moon. In the world, as you probably know. And in this movie, the same thing happens. There's a solar eclipse in the movie. So I was thinking about that movie, and I thought I would just recommend it because it totally relates to childhood trauma, and particularly it's spousal abuse. And it's also abuse from a father to his daughter in a very graphic way. And that daughter later is a grown-up adult, and she's an alcoholic and like a pill popper in the movie. I think she's more of an alcoholic, but I think at one scene she uses pills too. But she's very much drowning out what's happening, and a lot of it is about the realization between her and her mom of what happened with the dad. And the mother and daughter have this back and forth tension. It's called Dolores Claiborne. It has Kathy Bates in it. And I can't think of the woman's name. It's a well-known actress who plays the daughter. It's very on point. And it's very good about when people bury those things in their memories. When bad things happen and you bury the memory. So it's like a... I can't think of the word of that right now. But it's like a blocked memory. Something of that nature. But one of them waking up to it, basically. So it's very, very deep movie in that sense. But a good movie. It's a Stephen King movie. And I just wanted to mention that because of the solar eclipse coming in a couple days. Another movie I wanted to mention that was actually recommended out of that book I told you guys about. It was called A Kestrel for Knave. And a kestrel is a type of book, a type of bird, like a falcon, I think. And a knave, it's like an old medieval term that means like someone at a lower ranking in society. So it's basically a bird for a kid that's growing up in poverty, because this whole movie is about a kid. So I watched it. It came out in the 70s, and it was very, very true to the community that they are in. So I think it was set in northern England, or maybe part of Ireland. I was a little confused by that, but it's a really beautiful movie. It reminded me a little bit of the movie, which the name escapes me right now, but it had Scarlett Johansson, and she's in Japan, and Bill Murray is in it. It's very much an observer's movie. So you're watching what's happening with this kid's life and the torment he goes through, but then he finds beauty with this bird. And what it reminded me of, and what I think this book that I had read it regarding it, it's about even if things are really horrible in your life, there's still beauty somewhere. So he found it with a bird. He found this falcon, and it becomes like his new little best friend. But something I would say, let's just say not good happens, but I won't spoil it. But it's sort of a real, almost just looking at a kid's real life. And I think he's supposed to be 12 or 13 or something in it. But he's very impoverished, and it's in the 70s. It's an old factory town. It's either Northern Ireland or Northern England. I can't remember now. But it was before Margaret Thatcher came in and sort of deconstructed the working party's power. So this was very much a working people's town. So this was actually filmed in that town with real locals before Margaret Thatcher came in and turned their lives around, like deconstructed, you know, a lot of the influence and organization that they had. So it's kind of interesting to see these people living this way of life before the 80s hit, the 1980s. So I found that part interesting. And they talked about that a little bit if you watch the special features, whatever, which I did. But it was a story recommended, and I think it connected to low self-esteem. So if you struggle with low self-esteem, I think that A Kestrel for Knave was recommended with Rebecca. I talked about that book, Rebecca. And a couple other things I wanted to mention that I found sort of interesting. And I tried to find these in this same book. This book, the Novel Cure, which has all these elements and everything in it. Because one thing I know that I struggle with, and I've talked about this on here before, is making assumptions. So that's something that's gotten me into a lot of trouble in the past, is I make assumptions. And another one is I can be oblivious to things. And I never would have thought that obliviousness connected at all with making assumptions. Because to me, obliviousness is like being naive. But it makes sense that if you're naive, you probably assume things about people because you're naive. And one thing that I looked up, it said assumptions can be related to arrogance, which I thought was very confusing. And that's what I found when I Googled it. That's not what I found in this book. But when I looked up, you know, what does assumptions relate to, or what's another word, it said arrogant. And I thought, and it also said overconfident and presumptuous. And I thought, well, that's not what I would think. I would think being judgmental is related to making assumptions. And that is something I've admitted. I think it's almost, you know, it's almost like a taboo thing in a way, almost like the same as low self-esteem, like being judgmental is like a taboo. But I do feel like in a lot of ways I'm very critical of myself and I prejudge situations. So yes, I do think I'm judgmental in that way. But one specific word that actually connect making assumptions to obliviousness is being unaware. And that word really rang true, because I feel like a lot of times I do feel unaware, or at least in the past, I definitely did in my 20s and 30s. I feel like I was very unaware. And a word that relates to that, that's a little bit scary, is the word ignorance. And I thought ignorance, I wouldn't have thought to use that word, but whenever I was looking through this Novel Cure book, that was a word that sort of popped up, and I don't remember exactly how I got connected to it in the book, but one of the things that it related to is feeling like an idiot. And I've told you before that so whenever they have the word in here ignorance, it says homophobia, feeling like an idiot, racism, and xenophobia. And I was like, whoa, you know. But feeling like an idiot, yeah, one of my biggest triggers, as I told you guys, is feelings of incompetence, right? That's feeling like an idiot. So I thought that word was really interesting, because in regards to ignorance, I was thinking, okay, what does this have to do, or where's this coming from? And then I thought, duh, you grew up with somebody who had that feature. Like you grew up with people who abuse you, and you have complex PTSD, and they were some of the most judgmental people ever. Like, that's where it comes from, you know, because I kept thinking, well, where is it coming from? And it's, I think it ties in very well with being self-critical, because they were judging me too, right? They were judging me. They were judging everybody. They're humorless and miserable a lot of the times, and they're very judgmental and critical. I was trying to think of this as well in regards to the word denial, because I looked in this book and I didn't see denial anywhere, which I was fascinated by, that they don't have the word denial in this Novel Cure book, because I really wanted that to be in there, and it wasn't there. And I thought there was something, some little inkling there that made me think, you know, this word ignorance relates well in almost a way to denial. Like if you're being ignorant or highly critical or highly judgmental, the denial is a big part of it, because you're being dismissive is what you're doing. Whenever you're being in denial, you're being dismissive. And that's why I think one of my huge things that really bothers me, it really, really sets me off. And this is one reason I didn't want to watch certain morning shows like I talked about, although I have included that in my routine, but I overlooked this aspect. I don't like the condescending, and I do feel like a lot of morning news TV hosts, and I'm talking national news, I'm not talking local news, but national news, morning shows, and even just news shows in general, morning news, afternoon, whatever, there's a certain condescending dismissiveness, arrogance about a lot of the hosts that are on these political channels. And so when I saw this word ignorance, and I was thinking, you know, does me, the fact that I make assumptions and the fact that I can be oblivious is because I'm not being exposed to things. Like growing up, you know, people were kept out of the home if they didn't align with the beliefs of the person that abused me, right? That happens a lot. If there's somebody that's going to speak up or bring in something different, or something challenges them, or any kind of a change or anything different like that, a lot of times they can like shun them or just not ever invite them over. Now, having said that, I did mention in, I think it was my last episode, the person that abused me growing up, I have a similar feature to them in the fact that if someone's completely foreign in the community we live in, and I mean super foreign to where they're not fitting in with anybody, I'm drawn to people like that. And so is the person that abused me. However, it doesn't necessarily mean, that doesn't mean the same thing here. So even if somebody, like if my abuser is arrogant and ignorant, that doesn't mean that they're going to be that way maybe with every single person. Because if somebody feels like an outsider or is so foreign they're not fitting in, you know, that just happens to be something that they're connected to, because the person that raised me happened to also be an outsider. So there's the connection there, and they want that camaraderie. And I would say also that sometimes when that foreign person would be around, you know, and I mean an actual foreign person who's not fitting in with their community, I think sometimes the person that abused me, they would take them in and find that camaraderie, but they would also, they would be sharing their rudeness with them too. They would almost be like, trying to think of anything to give an example of, but they would almost be saying, oh, this is the way things are, you know, when that person that's foreign, you know, it might even be a little bit of like a manipulation going on, where since this person isn't fitting in, they're not just drawn to them because they also don't fit in, but maybe they're drawn to them because they're like an easy person to bring into your fold, because maybe they'll do what you want because they don't have any friends, you know. I've kind of seen that with the person that abused me. I have seen that. So there's two things sort of going on there. One is they actually do connect with this person, but two, I think they want them in their fold. Whereas somebody who is just a normal person who has been in your community forever, they would keep them at bay if they're going to challenge them in any way. And probably the same for this person who might be a foreigner. If there's anything that pops up where they would challenge their way of doing things, then the person that abused me who brought them in would be like, oh, well, then just get lost. I don't want to hang out with you anymore. You know, they would just throw them away. That's probably what would happen. But the ignorance factor, I wasn't expecting that to sort of pop up in relation to making assumptions. But I guess it makes sense, because when you're making assumptions about something, you're lacking awareness, like you're lacking knowledge. And I think if you grow up in an abusive home, I think you're very much shut out from the world, and you're shut out particularly from human experiences outside of maybe school. So like there's school, and school might just be pure hell for you. And then you just come home and everything sucks, right? But there's no like human growth going on. You know, the world might just be what you see on TV, and you build all these stereotypes. That's actually the word I was trying to find in here too, was stereotypes. I didn't see stereotypes. I was really hoping to find denial and stereotypes, but I didn't see it in there. I just wanted to kind of point this out, because I think if you're, a lot of us with complex PTSD, if you're shut off from the world and you're isolated, particularly in your youth, and maybe the person that raised you only allows other abusive people into the zone, like into your home, you're going to grow up very narrow-minded. Like you're going to grow up with narrow-minded people, and you'll be more susceptible to it. So I think the fact that maybe a lot of us might struggle with being oblivious and also making assumptions, because maybe there's a certain level of unawareness. And I would say that that's on a human growth level, like actually getting to know people and their problems and sharing experiences and watching the people that raised you do that same thing. So if they're not doing that, if nothing's being shared because nothing's being talked about because people are being abused, that's not happening, right? There's no growth. So it would make sense that I think we kind of fall into these ignorant situations, like feeling like an idiot. You know, that's where I think it can stem from. And it's a really, really big thing. The other thing I was going to talk about on here, just really quick, was I wanted to go over something, but I might save it for another episode, because it's technically, it's a similar topic, but it's a separate topic. I was going to talk about something I call not accepting the golden ticket, and why sometimes we don't accept good things when they come our way. But I'm going to do a separate episode on that. So this is the Complex PTSD Guy signing off.